Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Being servant-hearted, about service and serving. And you know what I love about that word is that it makes people feel uncomfortable sometimes. And I've been there. So how many times do you use the word serve in a sentence? Like at work? It's not common, right? And it kind of gets a bad rap at times. Servant. When's the last time you've asked someone to be your servant? When's the last time you've said, hey, I'll be your servant? It's not a popular term. It's not something we engage with, talk about, or use a lot in our Western modern society. So this is where we're going tonight. And, you know, there's a billion messages out there on service and servant and how to be a great one and servant leadership. And there's so much because the Bible's full of it. There's actually 1,200 references to the word serve and servant in the Bible. And there's so much more. Like, so it's true. It's biblical. But we're going to keep it really, really simple tonight. And one of the things I love about our church is that we have so many servant-hearted people. We have over 400 members of our dream team. I did the counts today, and our dream team are everyone that just volunteers in some way. Could be kids, could be cafe, could be worship team, it could be hospitality, welcome. Over 400. And that's just here. 400 people giving their time. And I worked out that across three services, so we run an 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 5 o'clock service, that across all three services, that's a combined total of about 543 hours of volunteer work. Every week, just people giving, 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 giving. And so that's a core value, working together for a purpose greater than ourselves. You know, why do people do it? Why do we do it? Why does our dream team do it? There's got to be some depth behind it, right? It's not just a good idea. It's not just because some people are great at helping or have gifts or talents in it, because that's not going to last you the distance. What's at the core? What's at the root of service? And so tonight, I'm really believing that that deep revelation is just going to be deposited, or it's going to be awakened in your spirit. And we're also going to pray later tonight that God's servants, which are you, you'd be empowered for service. So we're going to get into that as well. So let's dig into it. Let's dig into it. Okay, so culture's getting worse, right? Culture is getting so bad in terms of the reverse of that word. So why is that word not used? It's because it goes against and opposes everything to do with self. The word servant opposes every concept of individualism and me and I and self. And so that's why it's not used a lot, because we live in a society that everything is about being a better me. It's learning and growing and being better with what I've got and how I do things. And this was really heightened to me when I went to Goma with my kids and we saw an art exhibition which was called Me, My Selfie and I. Yeah. Me, My Selfie and I. The entire kids' art exhibition was about me, I, myself, taking selfies, doing everything about me, drawing pictures, everything that was about them, like self, the whole thing. Hundreds of kids, day after day, like for months on end, this is what this art exhibition was. And it wasn't there as a mocking, it was there as a culture identification step. Hey, this is what exists in culture. And that's crazy, right? That's crazy. And so we're constantly up against this fight and this battle against self. And that's, it goes through the word, right? It goes through when we give our lives to Christ that we're dead to self and we're alive to Him. And there's this battle that we have to take control and we have to keep killing self. We have to keep killing self. It's a process. And so I want to make that easier for you tonight, because you can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that by just process or good ideas or trying hard. Sometimes we try hard to get in a place where we're right with God, but it doesn't actually work like that. It's all about His grace and His empowerment to be able to do that. So serving others instead of serving self. The irony about something like this, and about the word servant and about people's reaction when you talk about serving and service, is that everyone is serving something. Everyone. There's not a single person. And so to break it down really small, you're either serving self or you're serving others. You're either serving self or you're serving others. You can choose only one. I don't know what movies that's from. I'm not very good at movie lines. But our house and our church is focused on others. It's the way we turn. Some of you have heard this story before, I think, but my four-year-old, my middle child, when he was four, he was sitting at the table and he just suddenly just started kind of like a yell slash cry. It's like he's not really sure what he was doing because he was in the middle of breakfast. And I looked at him, he had this spoon, and then he's like kind of squinting and like, yeah. And he'd actually he'd put his spoon in his eye. Like he'd just shoved his spoon handle in his eye because he was trying to turn his eyeball around so he could see himself. Some say genius, some say crazy. But there's this notion of looking at self and turning, and there's something in our humanity, in our fallen state of humanity, that just reverts back to self. It just reverts back to it. And we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be able to fight against that, and we've got to be able to win that. So serving comes not from what we do, but who we are. It comes from deep down on the inside, because serving is more than just an action. It's more than just a matter of hands. It's a matter of heart. And so this is the first step. The first thing we're talking about is hearts, because the work of our hands flow from the work that's done in our heart. So this, if you want to write down three things tonight, it's our hands, it's our hearts, our hands, and His power. And those are the three things. Our hearts, our hands, and His power. And the reason I know that, the reason I know you can't just get away with operating in the natural and operating in skills and talents, is because I've worked in hospitality. Has anyone else worked in hospitality? Has anyone else done the dishwasher duty, made the coffees, wiped the tables, done that? Yeah, I did a good 8 to 10 years of that. So serving, like, you know, 11, 10-hour shifts, you get like one break, you're trying to eat something on it, you're on your feet all day. That's service, right? And it can be bad service, it can be great service, depending where you go. But you can learn service. You can learn how to serve with your hands. Someone can teach you how to wait on a table. Someone can teach you how to take a drink order. Someone can teach that aspect of service. But what they can't teach you is that grit, is that matter of the heart on the inside. Because I could take an order from someone, but that doesn't mean that I cared about them. That doesn't mean that I loved them. That doesn't mean that I wanted the best for them. You know, that doesn't mean that I wanted the best for them and I'd give them their healthy food options because I was concerned about their cholesterol levels because they were a family member. And so, like, no, no, no. It doesn't mean that at all. You can serve without any heart. And you don't want to be in that place. And we're not called to be in that place, because our servant-heartedness is what makes a difference. Servant-hearted, not service-handed. So servant-heartedness comes from that place of faith in God. It comes from that place where we've given our lives to Him. We've turned and we've said, not my will, but your will. And there's so many characters in the Bible, so many men and women that are servants throughout this. It's amazing. Moses and David and so many. But one of the ones that I love, that I really think it should be in a movie, is Joshua. So from Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to God's people that were taken out of Egypt. Like, God did all these signs and wonders, and he parted the Red Sea, and he released and redeemed his people, and he just did so much over and over and over again to free his people and show his people how much he loved them. And some of them kept looking back. Like, some of them kept kind of just going, oh, maybe it'd be better over there, or, yeah, Joshua, I'm kind of into this, but I'm not really in. I'm not all in. I hear what you're saying, but yeah, is God really going to do it again? Is he really going to kind of come through one more time? I mean, he's done it in the past. And so Joshua gives this most stirring speech, and it goes for a while, but we're just going to read this little bit. And he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether it's the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the reason why I love that is because it can be used today. Sometimes we get stuck in how to apply the word, especially in the Old Testament, but that's a pretty normal conversation. Like, that's a pretty normal conversation, like, oh, so you're giving your time to that, but it's not really, you know, you're not getting any fulfillment out of that. You know, your heart's breaking in it, you're pouring out, and you're not, you know, there's no grace, there's no love, there's no mutual growth, there's no, you know, there's emptiness in there. And so Josh was like, hey, this is what I do. You know, this is who I'm following. This is where I'm going to put my all, where I'm going to put my heart, where I'm going to put my service. And that can be used when you're having a conversation with someone that knows nothing about God. And that can be used when you're having a conversation with someone that maybe has walked with Jesus, maybe has known him, but they've gone, you know what, I'm just going to back off a bit. Because it's just a little bit too much to stay full on for God all the time. It's just a little bit too much to stay in that place where faith is a challenge because I'm not making all the decisions and I don't have all the control. And so Joshua is saying, come on, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you've seen. Don't worry about what you haven't seen. Don't worry about when your skills got you that through or when you think it was your greatness that got the promotion. Don't worry about that because serving God with everything is what brings the miracle. Serving God is what takes us to the promised land. Serving God is what fulfills every promise and every covenant that he's given to us. As for me and my house. So you got to choose. There's a choice. It's totally a choice. The Old Testament word for servant is Ebed. The reason why I use this word is not to say the Hebrew word Ebed. It's actually because I love how this word was created, because it's all to do with action and obedience. So the word servant comes from action and obedience. It's not just the hands. It's not just the action of the hands. It's actually the obedience of the heart. So that every time that word was used, serve, it's about an action from an obedience, about a heart position that then moves your hands, that then moves your decisions after and at the same time intertwining your hands and your heart. Because if they're at conflict with themselves, if they're at conflict with one another, how can you live? How can you do the things you're meant to do? How can you be at peace with yourself? Which is why that word was servant and serving. It's action and obedience. It's this togetherness, which when we step into it, you feel normal. You feel like, oh, this is what I meant to do. Oh, this is my place. Oh, that's actually really easy. Don't have those skills or talents? Actually, it doesn't seem to matter because you followed a willing and obedient heart when you've heard God on something. I love it. Obedience comes from a committed heart. A heart consecrated and set apart, and a heart that has denied self. You can't tell me a selfish heart is an obedient heart. You can't tell me that you can be obedient when your heart is more on something else than on God. It doesn't work that way. It's a matter of the heart. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of all life. It's from where life flows. It's from your mouth speaks from the matters of your heart. The heart has to be positioned in a place of obedience. And if you're feeling a little bit squirmish right now, trust me, we've all been there in good company, because the Holy Spirit just kind of goes, and he fits it back in. He goes, just bring it in, just bring it in that way a little bit, just stop doing that. And if you kind of lean in this way and it's okay, I got you, just follow me again. That's kind of what he does. And you feel like someone's just nudging you, or you feel like a bit of a, yeah, but the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn, he convicts. And so anytime you think something as the Word of God is spoken, it's probably the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit moves on the Word. And so if it aligns with the Word, then I suggest you do it. So if you're getting those thoughts, or if you're getting those feelings as we're going tonight, write it down, because I'm sure that God is speaking to you on it. In 1 Samuel, love this. God desires obedience, not sacrifice. He doesn't want you to just give up and give everything and everything and everything and just work, 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 work. He doesn't want that. He wants an obedient heart, because the obedient heart is where the service flows from. You can't serve without submission. Lay your life down for Jesus. We find it in him. It is a joy. It is a joy to lay your life down for Christ. Servant-hearted before service-handed. All right. So when we got the heart right, let's just assume we've got the heart thing right. Yep, tick, we've got the heart right. Then our hands, the work of our hands follow. And the funny thing is, just like the Old Testament leads to the New Testament, this concept of serving and service does exactly the same thing. So we've got this action and obedience step in the Hebrew word for service, which is ebed. And then we go to doulas, which is the New Testament word, which is actually a word that means slave or bond servant. So we've come from this place of action and obedience to this place of closeness and joined commitment with the master. And the master that they're referring to in the Bible is Jesus. The word serve and the word slave is referred to, it's the same word that means a servant of Christ, a slave of Christ, which is why Paul says in Romans, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a slave to this, but I'm a slave of Christ. And it's not negative. It's actually empowering, because he's speaking about it, because it's this process of an aligned heart, an obedient heart. And then he's locked in with where God is. He's like, I'm all in. I'm all in when I do it. And so that's what service is, a slave, a master's slave in the New Testament. So that servanthood, doing the work, that's a lower call. So to be a slave to Christ, that's the higher call. Because when he rules and reigns in your life, and when you're in full obedience to him, there is such joy in being a slave to Christ. And once again, common culture. When's the last time you talked about slavery in a positive context in any conversation? It just doesn't. But being able to explain these things, being able to know what the culture is in the Word of God, and then go, you know what? It does exist, but you know, sometimes you're a slave to self. Sometimes you're a slave to self that's detrimental instead of a slave to Christ. You know, and Jesus himself calls himself a servant. And we kind of think this airy-fairy word of servant sometimes, but it means that slave, that obedient-hearted, following the will of God, slave. And he calls himself this. In Philippians 2:7, talks about Jesus. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And in Matthew 20:28, it gives us the why. Why did he do that? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amazing. So who is your master? Who is on the throne? Choose today who we serve. Who we serve. Okay, so We're a slave, but we're free. Has anyone pondered that before? Has anyone thought about that? We sing these songs of freedom, and it's the freedom Christ set us free, it says. And we're talking about being free in Christ, but we're free, but we're a slave at the same time. It's a paradox. It doesn't make any sense. But when we've given our life to Christ, we find full freedom in that. There's full freedom in that positioning. So a freedom of heart to choose what we do with our hands. There's a freedom to choose what we do with our hands. And the parable of the talents is a very real parable about serving and about servants. It's in Matthew. Sorry, I don't have the scripture, but the parable of the talents is when the master goes away and he gives them money, essentially, to invest and work for his use. And he trusts it to them to see what they're going to do. And two of them make the money and double it. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And to the other one, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. And he cuts him off. And this parable, when you put it in the context of service, when you put it in the context of serving God, it kind of is a real clear and a fear of God kind of moment that when we give our life to Christ, it's not our own. So what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? So our choice, that freedom of choice, is about what we put our hands to. The freedom of choice is what we choose to do, and the works we choose to do, the good works he prepared before us, to every single one of you, he's prepared good works. Are you going to put your hands to them and run with it? Are you going to put your hands to what he's laid just in front of you and go, yep, God, I'm all in, I'm going to run with it? Because the other choice is mortifying. So freedom to choose, called to live in freedom. Galatians 5 sums it up beautifully. Verses 13 to 14. For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. He's given us gifts to serve one another. The freedom is to serve in love. So we've got the choice, what we put our hands to, our hearts, our hands. God's looking for faithful servants. The Bible said his eyes roam the earth. He's looking for faithful servants, men and women whose hearts are sold out, are all in to follow him. Our heart, our hands, his power. Okay, so the power bit. The power bit is where it gets good, because it means it's not about us anymore. It means we don't have to create this thing, make it happen. It relieves all pressure off us to do what he's called us to do. Because anything he's asked you to do, he'll give you power to do it. Anything he's ever called you to do, any vision and dream he's put in your heart, he will enable you to do that by his supernatural power. It's not going to be done in your strength. It's going to be done in his, because if it was done in yours, why would he have given you the vision? Why would he have done that? God empowers and enables his servants. And that's a word in the Bible called the anointing. And the anointing is what God, it says when someone is anointed for service, they're empowered, they're enabled. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, anoints people for service. And Jesus, all Jesus requested of his disciples after he left was for them to wait. For them to just wait, first of all, for the Holy Spirit to be empowered, and then to wait again that they'd be enabled and anointed to do the work he'd called them to do. He knew that they couldn't do it by themselves. Servants get anointed. It's not the talented that get anointed. It's not the gifted. It's not those with the best musical skills, the best practical skills. It's the servants that get anointed. It's the Davids out in the field that no one's seen what they've been doing, but that heart of obedience and that heart of seeking him, it's that heart that draws God and puts the anointing on to enable his servants. So we're going to pray for some people tonight. The anointing gets ready for service. The anointing has purpose. For one thing about the anointing, which is super important, it's referred to as oil in the Bible a lot of the time because they used to anoint, and we still do, they anoint people with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and they would pour oil on the head. And throughout the whole scriptures, the word oil is often is referred to as the anointing, and it's the same as the Holy Spirit, basically. So the Holy Spirit spoken about in the New Testament, but not in the Old Testament, except for different words of framing it. But the anointing and the Holy Spirit is just treat it as the same for basic purposes. And so the Holy Spirit is who anoints. And the oil has to keep burning, right? So let me just explain this. Who's used an old lamp, like a citronella lamp, or like one that they, those stake ones that they put in the ground and then you pour the oil in and then light it. It's got the little fire on the top. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, sort of. If you want to go really old school, the kerosene lamps that had the glass that had the rope and you had to put oil on the bottom and then light it and stuff like that. So this is kind of the lamp and the fire and the oil that's often referred to in the Bible, because once again, culturally, we have to get the picture. And the whole idea was that these lamps and that these fires would keep burning continuously. And even in the Holy of Holies, where they kept the Word of God and the Ten Commandments, there was a fire that they had to keep burning constantly, 24/7, just constant, constant, constant. And that's what the Holy Spirit does on our service. He keeps us being in a position that we're refreshed and ready, refreshed and ready, refreshed and ready. And that's what the anointing is. That's what the great enablement, that power is. It's so we don't burn out. It's so we don't burn out. And you know, I had these citronella lamp things in the garden once. We had a backyard party and the oil burnt out. And you know what happened after the oil burnt out? Because they were really cheap ones from some really cheap store. The whole lamp caught on fire and then just burnt to the ground and singed and smoldered and was no more. Like, that's a great representation of gotta keep the oil happening. You gotta keep the oil happening because the consequences are dire. It's burnt out. That thing was burnt out. And so stay oiled. Stay oiled, because serving nourishes us. This is the last thing. Your service, obedient heart, hands that move, your service to God, a servant heart, will actually nourish you. One of the scriptures I hang my life on is what Jesus said in John 4:34. And he said, "My work, my food is to do the will of him who sent me." My food, my nourishment is to do what he told me to do, and I'm going to be obedient to him that sent me. And so when I'm obedient and when I do what he told me to do, I'm always going to be nourished. I'm always going to be fresh. I'm always going to have food. I'm always going to have life because I'm in that place. Got my heart right, got my hands doing it, and I'm anointed, and I've got his power. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.